Over the past month on the show, we've been hearing from Americans who are straining to make ends meet. On paper, though, they're well off. They make about $100,000 a year. But it often takes just one major expense for things to get hard: student loans, childcare, or medical expenses. For Stephanie Culp and her husband, it was debt that just kept adding up.
The hot water heater went out. He needed new tires. The garbage disposal went out. And it was just, you know, once you get behind and you have so much of your income going out, there was just no way to catch up.
The Culps declared bankruptcy, left their house, and moved to Gaithersburg, Maryland, so that her husband could take a better-paying job. They live in an apartment there with their son and daughter, young adults who both have severe nonverbal autism. Stephanie is a stay-at-home mom. Her husband is a software programmer who earns $100,000. I asked her if they'd been able to get control of their debt, if his paychecks covered their many expenses.
I'm going to say no, being as we don't have a single piece of furniture in this apartment. We just struggle to get it paycheck to paycheck. That's pretty much how we live.
How do you pay your bills?
I'm in charge of the finances, so sometimes things have to wait. I have to make judgment calls on what we absolutely have, what I can maybe double up on next month because we can't afford to pay it all at once.
So what are the choices that you're sometimes making? What things do you have to kind of delay?
Sometimes it's the cell phones, but I can't, you know, hate to do without those in case the school needs me, or if my, you know, if my husband gets in a wreck, I'm not comfortable doing without those. Sometimes we push the electricity back. Sometimes it's the insurance, because it's either pay these bills or it's we don't eat. So, you know, what do I cut back on?
Is it so expensive because of where you're living, or are there other additional costs to do with your children and other issues?
It's partly because, you know, of where we're living. Gaithersburg is a booming area. It would honestly, we discovered it would be cheaper if we were able to buy a townhome, but because we have a recent bankruptcy, there's not going to be a bank to look at us sideways for years. So I'm grateful to be here. It's just that it's a lot more expensive than I ever thought it was going to be.
Tell me about the bankruptcy. What happened?
A myriad of things. Too many credit cards, too many major hospitalizations. I was working at the time, but my hours continually got cut. And my husband's job cut out the overtime. We couldn't afford all the payments, and it just snowballed out of control.
Did you have any savings?
No, we never have savings.
Tell me about your kids.
They are 19 and 20. I have a boy and a girl. My son is the youngest. Along with the autism, he just has severe anger problems. He hits things. He hits himself. He hits me, his sister, and it doesn't take anything to set him off. We finally got him into a school that seems to be really helping him, but they also do not sleep at night, so he cannot ride the bus in the morning because he probably just went to sleep, so I have to take him every morning and I have to pick him up every afternoon. It's stressful.
Yeah. Does your husband expect that he's going to retire?
No. He has told me multiple times that he will work until he drops dead, because there's no affording it.
How did you grow up?
I grew up with both my parents, but, you know, we lived in a trailer with a one-room air conditioner, and I didn't really feel that we were poor. I mean, I knew I didn't have the best clothes like everybody, but we always had Christmas. With my husband and I now, we haven't been able to do Christmas in 10 years. We don't even have a tree.
Does that surprise you when you grew up thinking that, you know, you might have better things and you earn $100,000 now and you can't have a Christmas tree?
It's absolutely awful. Because I feel like we should. I mean, we're not homeless. We don't live out of our vehicles. We could save a lot of money if we did. We make $100,000 a year, so it's far from destitute. It's just not enough.
That was Stephanie Culp of Gaithersburg, Maryland.
People feel like they haven't been getting ahead for a long time.
Jim Tankersley covers taxes and the economy for the New York Times. He told us that the stories we've heard of people struggling to get by, even on six figures, often are a lingering result of the financial crisis of 2008.
The sort of raises they were used to, and especially in the late 1990s, just haven't happened in the wake of the Great Recession. And so for a lot of people, whether they're making the median or just under 100,000, they feel like, hey, my quality of life is not advancing nearly as fast as I think it should be based on what I've seen in the past.
And people in America don't have a lot of savings, do they?
They don't. We've seen the savings rate drop over time. We see that there are a large number of families who can't even get by if they missed two paychecks. This is a problem that predates the recession. It's actually been a problem throughout the 2000s where people borrowed and they overspent perhaps relative to what they should have been saving just to keep pace with, again, with those quality of life improvements that they had been accustomed to in the past.
One of the things that these families talk about is the expenses that they can't really mitigate, childcare, medical expenses.
And those are expenses that we see in particular policymakers now being more interested in trying to figure out solutions for, whether those are market-based solutions to get more competition or whether they're government solutions to help people, whether through subsidies or other ways of bringing down those costs. Education, childcare, these are things that have been increasing faster than overall costs in the economy, and they are very visible costs to working families, and I think that's why policymakers are so tuned into them now.
How does this fit in with what we're seeing now? We see the stock market at record levels. The economy has picked up again. It's growing. We see unemployment at very low levels. What does that mean for the average family?
Well, I'm going to do something that economics reporters, and particularly this economics reporter, don't often do, and be a little bit optimistic here for a second. We know that things get better faster for families and working families when the economy is in what we call full employment, when unemployment is very low, when there's a lot of pressure on companies to raise wages to keep workers. And so if we can maintain that period for a while, again, like we did in the late 90s, that would be great for these families. They might actually start to see faster and sustained wage increases in a way that really does start to feel like, hey, getting ahead again.
Jim Tankersley, tax and economics reporter at the New York Times. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.